Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game on this Friday of Memorial Day weekend. Again, the Braves, for some kind of scheduling quirk, I guess just because of travel, are not going to play a game on Memorial Day, which ought to be, every team in baseball ought to be playing on Memorial Day. I just don't quite understand why they're not, but they're traveling to Boston that day, Boston. They'll get to Boston and Cincinnati, and that'll be interesting to see the Reds. That'll be next week. First things first, though, a quick stop back home after a successful trip down to Miami. They play three against the Washington Nationals. And the Nationals, again, are the highest scoring team in baseball. They have actually the only team in baseball scored more runs this year than the Braves, but their pitching has been abysmal. They have allowed more runs than any team in all of baseball, nearly 300 at this point. Around the Yard with Grant McCauley and Dukes and Bell, John Fricke in for Mike and Carl today. Of course, he's our Braves insider, host of From the Diamond, which is brought to you by Mark Spain. Grant, what is up?
Not too much, but then a lot of stuff all at once. When you talk about the 2026 Braves, a lot of things are going well, but they've had to navigate a few injury pitfalls along the way. But if you're one of those people like me that waits on Memorial Day to be that first real time that you're kind of taking stock of the standings around baseball and where you'd like to see yourself, I think that the Braves would probably earn a pretty solid A for their effort thus far this year.
Grant, you tweeted out, and you can follow Grant on the X, Grant McCauley, 1C, MC, capital A-U-L-E-Y, Grant McCauley on the X, a couple hours ago that Ronald Acuna is good to go for this evening?
Yeah, good to go. Obviously, that's weather permitting tonight. They are going to try to dodge some raindrops and probably going to be doing that all weekend long. But I saw Ronald in the clubhouse just a few minutes ago, looking good, in good spirits. You wouldn't know anything had gone on. There's nothing wrapped up as far as his thumb is concerned. I think it was just a ball that he caught that I guess felt a little bit painful. And then all of a sudden, he was just kind of trying to figure out what it was. And that's why the Braves, just as a precaution, took him out last night, did the imaging, determined that it's probably a bone bruise, and they're going to, you know, put him right back out there. And Ronald, after the game, Walt Weiss just said a few minutes ago, was already saying, hey, I'm going to play. So they put him in the lineup. He's ready to go, and hopefully he can continue to be a big part of the Braves, making a push at the top of the order with Drake Baldwin down. It's kind of nice to be able to bring back the National League MVP from 2023 and plug him back into the leadoff spot.
What are we seeing, Grant McCauley, our Braves insider? We, in front of our eyes, watching Michael Harris continues to get better and better. When he was in the minors and tearing it up, there were a lot of people, well, me, who was screaming for the Braves to bring him up, and he's continued to get better. We see his upside. What is his ceiling as a player, both as a defensive center fielder and apparently now as a slugger?
Yeah, and that last part is kind of the question. I think we know what he is defensively and what he's capable of, and he's one of the top go-get-em center fielders that you'll find in Major League Baseball. And that may not be a term that's going to equate to winning a Gold Glove every single year, but I can tell you, pitchers love having that guy out there patrolling center. And I think we've seen the kind of plays that he can make, and he just makes it look easy. So that part of his game has never been in question. Really, it was, when is the offense going to find that either that next level, and especially that consistency that just allows him to look and feel a lot like the 162, is not going to have so many peaks and valleys. And the injury was part of that a couple of years ago, but last year was just a real challenge for Michael. Had to make some swing adjustments, had to make a stance adjustment to get his timing right, but when he is swinging and hitting the ball well, he's hitting it as hard as anybody in the Braves lineup and really anybody in baseball. He absolutely tattooed two home runs yesterday. The first one off Sandy Alcantara, which to me was the most impressive one, because it was just this low line drive that just seemed to just keep going at about 20 feet off the ground before it landed out there in center field. So just an impressive start for Michael Harris, and the swing decisions have also been at a very, very good place this year. He's not expanding the zone. He makes good contact. He doesn't strike out a ton. There'll be some of that in his game. So I think we're just seeing, I guess the word I would use is a more completeness to Michael Harris in 2026.
You know, Alex Anthopoulos, Grant, has had this, you know, he's such a great, you know, obviously general manager and evaluator of talent, and he can see things that other people don't see. His ability, for example, to trade, you know, arguably the two best catchers outside of baseball and then replace them with the best catcher on top of that is just, you know, like, okay. So what do you think he sees in terms of making kind of adjustments here in terms of trying to settle down? You've got players who are certainly contributing in, like the DeBons and Smiths of the world, but in settling down the kind of the two spots that have been really kind of unsettled since the start of the year, and that's short and left.
I don't really know that shortstop's been that unsettled because Mauricio Dubon really stepped in there and played well. And I'm not sure. I guess I understand that, you know, Ha-Seong Kim didn't come out, you know, with his hair on fire and, you know, go 10 for his first 20. And I get that those struggles are not something you want to see, but there's a lot of baseball left to be played. And I think he still has a long runway to be a very valuable player to the Braves this year. And if they're going to do the things they want to do, they're going to need contributions from Ha-Seong Kim. So I don't think shortstop's really anything that they're overly concerned about. And when I look at left field, I think as we've seen Mike Yastrzemski this month start to figure some things out, you don't feel quite as uneasy about that. Now, when you got Ronald Acuna Jr. on the IL, that changes your outfield mix. But if the Braves are going to be doing the things they need to be doing, it's going to involve Michael Harris in center doing his thing, Ronald Acuna Jr. in right field doing his. And then I think with Kim back, now you can look at Dubon in left field as you need to help out with Mike Yastrzemski. And then if you maybe find an outfield around the trade deadline, maybe that's the way to go. A big slugger that could help you out maybe in the DH spot if you want to go that route. Because eventually you get Drake Baldwin and Sean Murphy back. It sure would be nice to have Murphy handle some of the catching and Drake Baldwin just get to swing the bat for a few times a week. And I think that's been part of the calculus for this team. It's just a few of these pieces just aren't available to you right now. And unfortunately, it all seemed to happen at one time, especially with the catchers.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about the catchers. Any update? Have you heard anything? Any chatter about Drake Baldwin?
This is a hurry-up-and-wait situation with the oblique. Obviously, you know, you can kind of look at the prognosis and try to judge it against how quickly other players have come back. Sometimes it's a couple of weeks. Sometimes it's a couple of months. The fact that it's a lower-grade strain leads me to believe that it should be on the on the right side of that timetable. And by right side, is that a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, possibly a month? It's just hard to say. And Walt Weiss was asked about this just a few minutes ago and said, obliques kind of have a mind of their own. They're an injury that you really can't just decide, okay, well, this is the timetable here that we want, and this is what's going to happen, because obliques just don't seem to cooperate that way. But, you know, you just got to figure out how to fill that void right now for the catching position that is not just Drake Baldwin and not just the bat that was out of your lineup, because you've got some other players that can contribute there, but handling this pitching staff, there's a lot of responsibility right now on Sandy Leone and Chadwick Trump to hold up that part of the bargain and see if you can't make up for the offense in the aggregate with things like getting Ronald Acuna Jr. back after a stay on the IL. If you have to be without Drake Baldwin, that's a pretty good way to start.
Grant McCauley is our Braves insider, getting ready for the Braves and the Washington Nationals. Quick 3-game set at Truist Park beginning this evening if the weather holds, and let's hope that it certainly does. Grant, I want to see if you can fill in a blank for me, because as close as you are to the team, one of the things I said earlier in the program is something that I'm going to explore a little bit here, is with all the numbers that the Braves put up, 35-16, pace to win 111 games, all that kind of stuff, all the numbers offensively, defensively, pitching, I don't know that I think that I could sit here and tell you that the Braves have actually been hot this year. I think they just go out and win series. Has there been a point where you looked at this team and said, boy, they're smoking hot?
I really feel like they kind of came out of the gate that way, to be honest. I mean, and maybe it's because, like you said, I spend a lot of time watching Braves baseball and being at the ballpark and, you know, being around the team some. And, you know, after what 2025 was, this is like the Wizard of Oz when you go from black and white to Technicolor again. I mean, it's a very different feel, and that's no one person's doing. This is a team effort. This is from the management side of things, coaching staff, to the players themselves. I mean, it's not like the injuries have all gone away, but the Braves have managed to find ways through this year. Now, it does help that their entire starting rotation didn't all end up on the IL, the 60-day IL, at the same time. That was a pretty tough blow for last year's Braves team. Once that happened, it just kind of felt like it was this downhill momentum, this snowball effect that you just weren't going to be able to stop. They did play a little better in the second half, but it just never felt like they were back to having that overall team dimension of the confidence and the momentum that Braves teams seem to have. You keep winning series the way Atlanta has this year, good things are going to happen. And I talked about this with the morning shift this morning, but as I looked back last night to see exactly how long it took last year's team to win its 14th series of the year, which the Braves just did in Miami, it took until game 121. So another 70 games and another 25 series they played before they finally won their 14th series in their 39th of the season. This team's lost one series this year and split another. It's been extremely impressive. So I guess to make a long story as short as I can, I don't know if I can say that they've been, you know, hot in terms of winning all the games in a row and not losing, but they've been as consistent as any Braves team that I've seen in recent memory.
Yeah, and not only doing that, but there's a renewed vibe, and I'm not trying, this is no shade on Snicker. It's just that Walt Weiss has given a new vibe to that team ever since he tackled Soler. I mean, I think it's been, you know, kind of like this team's got a kind of a new, you know, a linebacker, you know, manager, and it's just adopted its own mentality.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that can certainly galvanize the team. If you ever wondered, does the manager have your back? Well, yeah, he does. Now, did he do that for all the reasons that we might associate with it in the fan fiction world? Probably not. I think he just wanted to neutralize that and kind of keep everything in check, and he knew Jorge Soler, and they were all good after that. Everything was fine. So it was an interesting moment for it, but I think maybe in some ways you just needed to see something to just let you know, okay, you may have seen Walt Weiss as a coach who was on the bench beside Brian Snitker for 8 years. What's going to be different about 2025 moving forward under this guy with this coaching staff, with most of the same parts coming back? Where should our confidence level be as a fan base? And I think they've answered in a resounding way that there's a much better brand of baseball that can be played here. And it's not Brian Snitker's fault they didn't win last year. Injuries and inconsistency were an issue that a manager is not going to be able to fix with a pencil. That's just all there is to it. You can be upset about the bullpen management. I'll give you that. Not everybody's going to agree with all those moves, but there was no one thing last year that you could point to and say, that's the only thing that the Braves needed to fix. They really just had to kind of get back to, I think, the basics of being who they are, have some health, and get moving again. And that's what they've done.
Yeah, just keep winning. Just keep winning series after series after series, because at some point it's going to become disheartening to the Phillies and everybody chasing them when they just realize no matter what we do, we can't catch them. You know, they just they just don't lose.
Yeah, it very well might. I mean, we saw a couple of years ago, I guess 2022, when the Braves and Mets had their great showdown for the National League East. You had certain pundits in New York who can remain nameless that said, hey, it's Memorial Day. The NL East is over. Mm-hmm. You will never catch anybody down here around these parts making proclamations like that, because there's a lot of baseball that is left to be played. So nobody's overlooking the Phillies right now. Nobody's overlooking anybody, really, because ultimately you need to win and get in and then figure out how to win once you're in October. That's the next hurdle the Braves want to clear, but there's a lot of momentum, again, and goodwill that they're building here to get back to doing the things that they expect of themselves this year. So it's a very exciting time around Truist Park, and I'm sure for Braves fans coast to coast, to see this.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Team playing more like what you expect to see year in and year out.
He is our Braves expert and insider. We encourage you strongly to follow him on the X, Grant McCauley, M1CAULEY, and of course listen to him on Sundays on From the Diamond. And he's going to go enjoy some home cooking baseball tonight, as long as he can get it in against the Washington Nationals. Thank you, Grant.
Do appreciate. Thanks it. As always. I appreciate it, John.
Hey. Good man, Grant McCauley. Known him a long time.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.